What's good, listeners? Happy St. Patrick's Day. Welcome to the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. Good morning, Marissa. How's it going, fam?
Oh, it is going. Where am I? There we are. It's going beautiful. Hello. Happy St. Patty's Day.
See, I like how you try to make something happen.
I'm trying. In the world that we're in,
people are probably wondering, Chris, you're Irish. Like, what the hell's going on? Where's the green? Well, believe it or not, we're behind a green screen. So
I tried to wear my little shamrocks, but it's not like it's kind of silvery, so it'll look a little bit.
But clearly, the world is celebrating St. Patrick's Day, and I wanted to showcase this, Marissa, because I've always kind of felt like this is a bit random. Let me get me out of there. Why is this still a tradition?
Making the rivers green.
Yeah, you know, right here in Chicago. I know they've been doing this for like years now. Do you think it's awesome?
I think it's awesome. I know in Savannah, my sister lives there, and their rivers are green and it's gorgeous. And I wish I was there celebrating right now.
But I kept thinking about the incident last month, you know, in Ohio, right? Where, you know, all the fish were all tainted and stuff like that. And it was like, what the hell is going on? Like, what are we going to do about that? But we got an amazing show for everybody that's tuning into the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show, because it's jam-packed. Let me just put it that way. Because joining us on Just Talking is one and only writer and director Ryan Lason to talk about his film, All the World is Sleeping, as well as Denver Pop Punk Kings, Barry Mia. Oh my gosh, it's going to be a lot of fun. And also check out my brand new Off the Fret podcast, more music talk, featuring Nashville country star Amanda Cooksey, out now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. And every Tuesday, I do a video game talk show called Rage Quit. You can find all the episodes on YouTube or join us live every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Well, all right, Marissa, it is time to rock and roll. What's good, listeners? Joining us on Just Talking is director and writer Ryan Lason, live on the Chris College Show, Millennial Talk Show. How's it going, fam?
What's going on, guys?
Hi. Oh, welcome. Man. Happy St. Patty's Day.
Yes. How are you setting the tone for today? Do you have a Jameson in hand at the start of the show?
I don't yet, just because my movie's coming out today. So I thought, you know, I should probably ease into the day a little bit.
That's so true.
Shit face falling over.
I just want to make sure I have a little bit of, you know, vernacular going.
Hey, well, you know what? We appreciate you so much coming on the day of the debut of your world premiere of your film, All the World is Sleeping. And since we are a video on air production, why don't we set the tone and let the CCS family that is tuning in live on our, wherever you guys are streaming this show on your platforms, on the video side. So let's go ahead and play that trailer now, Marissa.
Sometimes I can feel the sky as it rotates. It scatters my thoughts.
You're my baby girl, you're all I got.
And it'll grow louder. More aggressive. I look up and I know I can keep them together. And then it rains.
Why are you here?
Because I need to get my daughter back.
You can do something for the world that's beyond yourself.
You think you got like a choice, really? We gotta fight. I wonder if you can hear me.
So so badass. So good. So good.
Such a good film. Earlier.
they froze me here. But Ryan, set the tone for the CCS family. Give us a rundown about what your brand new film is all about.
Yeah, so basically All the World is Sleeping, it's about survival. It's about trying to make it in a world that doesn't go easy on you. And the film follows a mother who's struggling with addiction while also trying to surface for her daughter. And the film basically just kind of asks us to, you know, like put ourselves in someone else's shoes, because we spend so much time of our life just, you know, like judging other people. And this film was like, hey, before you like point a finger at someone who's dealing with addiction, let's pull that curtain back. Let's see what experiences they've been through. Let's see their life.
And what were the challenges of making this film?
Well, I think making an independent film at any point, you're coming with tons of challenges, obstacles, uphill battles. But this film, it's based off the true story of seven women who have fought and continue to fight against addiction. So I think the biggest challenge for me was just to make sure that I was doing their voice justice and that I was being able to tell their story in a way that they felt that they were being heard and seen.
Very cool, Ryan.
I have a quick question, though. Have you yourself struggled with addiction? Is that one reason that made you want to make this type of movie?
Not me personally, but there's a lot of addiction in my family and with my family and friends and, you know, people around us, like the neighborhood, too. So it's one of those issues that I feel like affects almost every single household.
My dad's an addict. He's 24 years sober. So luckily has beat it. But I understand that addiction and what it does to families. How hard it is.
Yeah, absolutely, Marissa. And I know filmmakers today, Ryan, they dream about, you know, directing blockbuster movies like Star Wars or Indiana Jones or superhero films. So how do you choose a script that you want to direct?
Well, this one actually came to me. I did a film a couple of years ago called The Dust Storm, which was this like dark, romantic, like rip the scab off of relationships type films. And, you know, that did the whole film festival circuit, and this nonprofit in New Mexico saw it and they're like, well, you know, if this guy can do, you know, what he did for the state of Nashville or the city of Nashville where it's filmed, maybe he can come back here to Albuquerque and do a movie here that kind of portrays it, you know, the same way. So they invited me down to New Mexico. I met with the seven women that, you know, have battled addiction, heard their stories, and then they asked me to kind of create a screenplay off of that.
And what are the toughest aspects of making a film?
I mean, the toughest aspects always comes down to budget. You know, the more money you have, the more time you have to kind of put into it. For this film, we shot the whole movie in 18 days. So, you know, if you're on a big budget movie set, you might be shooting, you know, 2 pages a day, 3 pages a day. We were at sometimes 6-7 pages with a script that also involves, you know, a car crash, a fake rain, fire, kids, multiple time settings. I basically put every single hard thing possible in the script and then, you know, challenged myself and the crew to be like, okay, cool, let's try to pull this off in 18 days.
And how do you motivate your actors such as Melissa, you know, to perform in a movie with complexities of trauma? Because you don't want a bunch of like high-end, you know, high, loose screwed, you know, method actors running around on set, right? So how do you set the tone?
Well, they always say, too, that the best thing you can do as a director is just hire a good cast, because then half of your job is done for you. And to have like an amazing cast like Melissa and Jackie Cruz, Kristen Gutowski, Luis Fortunata, like the entire cast is just so phenomenal that it was so much easier for myself just to be able to like set the frame and kind of let them do their thing. But in regards to just kind of like making sure that they were doing the script justice to, like, you know, the world of addiction, we had the women that inspired the film on set as kind of the consultants. So every single scene that we did, you know, I would be able to check with them, be like, okay, does this feel authentic? Does this feel real? Melissa was able to go to them and be like, hey, you just watched what I just did. Is that kind of right? Am I doing
okay? I cannot say how amazing that is. So I watched the film and I was like, wow, this is actually literally what goes through. I struggled with addiction before, stuff like that. I hate watching movies if someone's smoking and you know they're not a smoker, right? They're like faking it or what. I'm not saying to actually smoke, but when you've gone through certain shoes and you don't have somebody on set to say, hey, look, that is so not real. Me, the audience, I can tell. And the fact you had them on set, like, I give you kudos for that, because I don't think a lot of directors would go through that much of a strive to have that type of reality.
Yeah, there's so many moments in there too. Like, I didn't want to have to make up a scenario. If I hadn't, you know, directly been involved in, you know, a particular situation, it was perfect having someone there that I can turn to and be like, am I doing this right? Am I doing everything, you know, correct? And they'd give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down. A thumbs down, I'm like, okay, we need to stop. We need to readdress the scene. What do we need to change up?
And what, Looper!
Yeah, right. So, Ryan, was the aim of the film to, like, push back against the stigma faced by, like, pregnant women and, you know, people who live in cycles of addiction?
Yeah, I think, too, that the biggest thing, like, I wanted to do is just create something that would, I guess, ask the audience to have a little bit more empathy and to create a conversation, too. The goal with this to be is, you know, you watch the film and then you're able to go out and talk about it a little bit more. And then maybe somebody who's watching this film and, I don't know, to go use your reference of Montana from earlier, you're in Montana, you're watching this film and maybe like addiction isn't something prevalent to like your world, but now maybe you're more apt to have a conversation about it.
And since you said kind of at the top of the show that, you know, addiction has kind of been in your life, I mean, not necessarily you, but people, your friends and family and et cetera. What are the resources that are so desperately needed for families living with substance abuse?
That's a good question, too. And I feel like every city just needs to have more outlets for, you know, to deal with addiction. Because I think a lot of times, too, it's one of those things where we kind of sweep a little bit of it under the rug. You know, people would rather just kind of look away than kind of deal with it. And when people are out there like crying for help, we need to have certain things in place to be like, hey, you know, you can go here to get help. This is available. These resources are here for you. And the nonprofit that helped basically put this whole thing together is called Bold Futures. And they're a New Mexico-based nonprofit that deals with culture shift. And their whole like base is just to kind of help people and give them the resources they need to get back, you know.
On their right. Because as a visual medium, you know, some people, I remember we spoke during our first year or two. We had a gentleman named Pat McGee. He was a documentary director, and he went down to Florida and he was actually filming some of the people that were going through these cycles of addiction and substance abuse. And some of the criticism that he got, Ryan, was that you're documenting fear porn. What do you say to people who might say that about your own film? About, like, why do you even want to highlight this in the first place? I mean, how do we even prevent substance abuse in the first place?
And I think that's insane, too, for people, like, to even point the fear porn out, like, an issue that's such a huge epidemic in America and the world. It's obvious that we have, like, a societal issue with addiction, and that's something that needs to be talked about until it's, you know, it's eradicated, at least kind of under you know, contained a little bit more. And for people to just kind of point that finger at it and be like, oh, this is fear porn, you're just trying to scare society, it's like, good, let's get scared, let's talk about this, let's fix this, let's do whatever we can so therefore more families aren't, you know, affected by this anymore.
And now with fentanyl being out there, I mean, that is so scary. You can't just go out nowadays, someone who does a 9-to-5 normal life and once a year maybe does some cocaine in Vegas. Right? Those days are gone because honestly, people are dying off of pills they think are okay, not even just a hardcore drug, something small. Children, this is happening. And there's more talk coming through in our Congress because it's affecting, it's not just low income, it's not just
someone
on the
streets. I thought you were about to say it's affecting
Congress people. No, Congress is addressing it because it's affecting families. Just like you said, Ryan, this is a family issue. It is an American issue, right? It needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ryan, let's switch gears a little bit because we are speaking with a filmmaker, director, and writer. And the Oscars were literally last Sunday. And I got to ask you, because you are a filmmaker, it is an award-winning film that you've been circulating across all the film festivals. But is this award ceremony still relevant?
I personally love the Oscars. You know, I grew up watching the Oscars every year.
Okay, but you said personally, though. Is that a little snub or a jab at the Academy Awards?
Well, no, I mean, I definitely can see people's criticism over the years. You know, everyone's like, it gets longer and longer as it goes. But I feel like if you're a cinephile, if you love, you know, movies, you got to appreciate the Oscars. And this year, too, was one of the first years where, like, the top 10 Oscars was such a, or the top 10 best pictures were such a wide range. I mean, you had blockbusters in there, you had little indie films, you had a weird action movie that won best picture. I mean, it's great.
And so that's a great point that you're referencing that, because Ryan, I remember I had a debate with Fox film critic Alyssa Wilkinson seasons ago on the Chris Collins show about how I'm not the biggest fan of theme park rides. You know, you might have heard that coined term from Martin Scorsese about Marvel cinematic films, but I always felt like Avengers Endgame should have been nominated as Best Picture. Bad. So does the popularity of a film equate to the worthiness of Academy Award?
Well, I mean, we had Top Gun 2 nominated this year, and that made almost $2 billion at the box office, and every single person saw that. So I think now that we're actually nominating films like that, I think that's kind of going to open it up for, you know, future Oscars.
But I do wonder how much Scientology paid to get that nominated.
You think there's? I was thinking of that about women talking.
Just throwing that out there. Little Scientology. Little Scientology conspiracy. I'm just kidding.
But don't you think it's a cliche? Because you kind of just mentioned at the top of the show about how your own film started off as an indie independent project that got its foot lifted, and we're clearly seeing with studios like A24 that, you know, low budget films, you know, they can become Oscar worthy. I mean, we just saw the recent success of a Kung Fu Dildo Butt Plug Taekwondo film. So were you hyped up about Everything Everywhere All at Once?
Oh, absolutely. Not only was that movie amazing, but for the fact that that movie went from like this little indie from A24 to becoming a box office hit to now getting Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, and Best Supporting Actor is huge.
And so with these recent changes, I mean, would you say that the Academy Awards still plays a role in shaping the film industry as a whole?
I do. And especially for like kind of some of the smaller films, you know, that don't make that $2 billion at the box office, like Top Gun 2. Now they get the stage to be able to be seen. So more people are going to go watch, like Banshees of Inisherin. That's a film that did not so great at the box office, but with all the attention.
Sorry. That was like my favorite film. It was amazing. It was so good.
Yeah.
I mean, but don't you sometimes think the problem, you know, nowadays, especially with some of the, I mean, I get you, you know, all the films that were nominated for Best Picture, except Women Talking, I thought it was terrible. the problem is, it's that there's too many outlets. I mean, not enough films are going to the movie theaters, a good amount are going to streaming services. There's even an LA Times report saying that almost half of the people in the nation haven't even seen these films. Are you concerned about that with more releases in the future in your world of filmmaking?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, if I think about it too much, I probably won't be able to sleep at night. So I try not to focus too much on that. But I will say too, like, I am glad that even All the World Sleeping got a theatrical release, because we're in an era right now where like most of the theaters, the Cineplexes, are being taken over by Shazam 2 and Creed 3. So to even get this like small independent film in theaters was a huge win for me. So I hope that I can continue to make films and they keep getting played in theaters, because that would be, you know, the dream coming true.
Absolutely, Ryan. And, you know, for inspiring filmmakers who want to make that next big step to turning their feature film into a reality, what is your advice?
My biggest advice is just to do it. You know, especially for like filmmakers too, everyone's like, okay, I want to make a movie. I have to make a movie. But you can't just sit around until like it just miraculously comes to you. You have to go out, you have to pursue it, you have to shoot whatever you feel is like the story that you have to get out there. And then once that's done, it's just trying to get it into the world and fight for it to be seen. Because even with this film too, we had so many offers originally for the film just be dropped on streaming and just kind of to disappear off in the ether. And we fought hard for this theatrical release. So if you know that you want your film out there for the widest audience, you got to fight for it.
Hey, I love that, man, because I know being a filmmaker, it requires a lot of expertise and patience, you know, to become one of the, you know, something that's going to be something special. And, you know, you have to handle everything that's around you at all times, on set and offset. So what keeps you motivated?
I think when you surround yourself with good people, and then, you know, even with the chaos that's going on in the circus of like the film, you just look around and you see like you're doing this together. It's such a collaborative job. So like everybody has to depend on each other in order for the day to get made. So even when like I get stressed on set, I look over, I see, you know, the DP hustling right there. I see our actors, you know, like getting ready in front of the camera. And that's what kind of inspires me to be like, to at least try to get to the top of my game each day.
That's cool.
And I love it, Ryan. And I know you're going to be wearing green. You're going to have a Jameson in hand. You're going to be celebrating your brand new film. But do you have any more plans in the coming months?
Yeah, well, you know, All the World's Sleeping has taken up the last like year and a half of my life. So now that that's coming out today, I can finally move on to the next film. So just completed a script, put that onto the world for producers. So hopefully, fingers crossed, financing comes through this summer.
Yeah.
Is that a satisfying feeling to know that your film's finally out, or do you just get more hungry?
Oh, I mean, I feel like I always stay hungry. You know, I never get too content, you know, and that's what I think keeps me the drive going. But there is definitely a weight off the shoulders knowing that, you know, the film has a home and the audience to come see it. Because before you get this, you know you have this good movie, but you're like, how do people come see this? And now I'm like, well, go to the theaters. Catch it on VOD today.
Love it.
And that's so badass. And I know that you're pushing very hard for people to come to the theaters. I mean, where are some of those places that you could get tickets now?
Yeah, so it's playing in California, Texas, Minnesota, New Mexico, Ohio, basically all across the United States.
Oh, yeah, big time.
Awesome.
It's incredible. Well, Ryan, I got to thank you again for joining the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. You are an amazing soul. And for everybody that's tuning in right now to the Chris Collins Show, do it, do it, do it. All the World is Sleeping is out now today on demand, or go to your theaters. Show Ryan Lacy what's good. Thank you so much, brother, for joining Just Talking.
So wonderful chatting with both of you.
Thank you. Happy St. Patty's Day.
Happy St. Patty's Day, my friend. Take it easy on the Jameson shots for me, though. We want to see a Q&A talk back at the end of the film. What's good, listeners? Joining us live on Striker Court is Denver, Colorado, Pop Punk Kings, Barry Mia, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. Also, check out my latest episode with Nashville country star Amanda Cooksey, out now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. That is my Off the Fret music podcast. But how you doing, gentlemen?
Doing awesome. Nice to be here.
Hey, we appreciate you, brother, because in the end, we do got the Pop Punk Kings. And on the very top of your homepage, on your band's website, it reads, Reinventing Pop Punk. How is Barry Mia doing this?
That's a good question. I mean, I think we're, you know, we're super inspired by a lot of, like, the early 2000s bands, and we're just trying to take some of that music, some of the brand new, the Taking Back Sunday, the Blink-182, and kind of reprocess it through our ears and try to make some good stuff. So we're just trying to make something new. It should be fun.
No, I think that's super badass. Awesome. And when it comes to, you know, pop punk bands and the sound today, I mean, how is the genre deferred from the early 2000s?
I think it's matured. I mean, you have all these kids that were in high school when the genre was kind of coming out, and now everyone's, you know, in college or they're, you know, adults working a, you know, 40-hour work week or whatever. So you kind of see that in the genre itself, that we're learning as musicians as well as adults and kind of putting that in our music.
I think that's a good point you just referenced, because I think you have matured. I mean, I'm looking at your song title right now for your brand new single, and I don't know too many of the youth that would be relating to this right now, but literally, quote, the title is called, "We've Been Trying to Reach You About Your Car's Extended Warranty."
I get that freaking phone call 2 to 3 times a day. 2 to 3. It's like, I bought a new car, and I guess I got, like, this is like 10 years ago I bought a new car. And I swear for like last 4 years, I've gotten this message 2 to 3 times a day. It drives me crazy.
So are you saying that you've seen a change in the fan base when it comes to the pop punk scene?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, myself in the crowd too, like you go to any shows and you notice it's a little bit of an older crowd, not old necessarily, but adults that are like, you know what, I got to take my, you know, like ibuprofen before I go in the pit. Because I know that I do.
Are you going to be the person that's wearing a back brace too when you jump in?
I definitely probably will be in the next year or two.
Well, okay. Well, no stage diving from you.
Oh, no. You got to keep stage diving. You got to keep stage diving. You got to get a couple more drinks, 4 ibuprofens, and you are good to go.
I don't know, because if Devin's head hits the canvas, it's going to be called Barry Devin at the end of the show. Okay, so let's keep it with the band name that we got right now. But since I was already kind of setting the tone, you guys got an amazing brand new single that cracks me up with how long the title track is, because it reminds me of the early days with like bands like Chiodos, you know, that would just love to just, you know, you just love to see your media player just keep scrolling and scanning. I think it's so freaking hilarious. So what, tell us about the inspiration behind this song.
The inspiration behind the song is a lot of like mental health issues. So kind of like being stuck inside, basically stuck inside like quarantine and stuff. Not doing much, kind of getting back to the new ways and trying to reach out to people that maybe you haven't reached out to in a while.
Did it kind of feel like that as a band as a whole where, you know, yeah, we've been isolated for so long and we haven't had that live interaction that we get at live concerts? And did you feel the weight of all that when it became time to actually get the locomotive going for Barry Mia to get going and activate and rock and roll?
Yeah, oh, 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, absolutely true. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people realize that musicians and artists in general, you know, we may not be like the most sane individuals around. I think we do our best to put a lot of our mental health issues sometimes into music. And so when something like quarantine happens and you're suddenly looking at like, we're not going to be able to play shows for 6 months or something along those lines, I don't know. It's defeating. And I think you hear a lot of that in Car Warranty, which is what we call it for short. Yeah, absolutely.
So when you went through this defeating moment, I mean, how did you guys utilize your time as a band? Was it recording new music? Was it polishing up your live sound? Talk to me.
It was a little bit of all of it, man. So at first, we didn't know what the hell to do, because you're like, how do we communicate? Do we FaceTime each other and do like a FaceTime band practice? How do we do this? Once things kind of settled up a little bit, we got together. We worked on a lot of new music. We worked on kind of tone, how we wanted to sound, and where we wanted to kind of take Barry Mia to the next level.
Very cool, man. And like, what is the message that you hope that your fans and even the brand new listeners from the CCS family will take away from your new single?
I mean, reach out to people. You know, they're having a hard time. Not everyone is living, you know, perfect. Reach out to those people you think are struggling. They'd appreciate the phone call. They'd appreciate just talking, even a text, just checking in. Just checking on your friends, man.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, brother. I mean, sometimes I'm just as guilty. I mean, I think that's, you know, the pun with your song title, you know, the extended car warranty, kind of like my co-host Marissa Pitts was joking about, because I feel like with our generation, I know Marissa hates me for this, but like, I don't create a voicemail. I hate it. I hate picking up the phone.
It drives me nuts. If I can't leave you a message, because I'm a little old school, I get so upset.
So what is up with that with our generation? Like, I don't really know the answer to it. I mean, I have no problem picking up the phone. It's just like, I'm just like, that's the old way. Is sometimes the old way not always good to stick with, or what?
Right.
Well, I think what's kind of cool too, and you know, even though social media has something kind of removed and like a fakeness to it, I've kept in contact with a lot of my friends who I don't necessarily text or call through social media. I mean, do you guys feel that social media is a way to reach out, or does it just seem too far removed and fake and you should call and pick up the phone?
I mean, I feel like it's a good way to reach out, but at the end of the day, like, a lot of what you see on social media is still just like what somebody's putting as their best foot forward. You don't see a lot of the trauma and really what's going on. I mean, even just myself, you know, what was this, 2021, my dad died and my daughter was born and almost died in the process right around the same time.
Oh, scary.
You know? And I'm sure if you look at my Facebook, None of that's on there. You know, nothing's on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Instagram is like band stuff, you know, so people don't know that stuff. And yeah, I think, and I agree with that. You got to reach out. And especially I think within like men's mental health, I mean, I know it's been kind of taboo for a while, but man, yes. I feel like go to therapy, man. Like I'm a huge like proponent of therapy. Like if you're feeling it, go. But we also got to be our own therapists and do that for our friends.
And therapy should be a lot cheaper.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I looked into it, man, and I can't afford it. I'm sorry. I cannot afford therapy. I look at stuff. They want $75 for an hour. I can barely pay my bills.
Well, yeah. To me, I know the best kind of therapy is listening to kick-ass music.
Yeah.
And I know with what you guys are doing with your brand new single. And again, I'm not going to cut it short. I will say the full title, okay? I promise that. The song that we put together for a lyric video here on the Chris Collins Show is called "We've Been Trying to Reach You About Your Car's Extended Warranty," live on the Chris Collins Show Millennial Talk Show. It's time to rock and roll, baby. What's good? That is the brand new single by the Denver Pop Punk Kings, Barry Mia. The song is called "We've Been Trying to Reach You About Your Car's Extended Warranty." And gentlemen, please, fabulous. We need a visual for that badass track. It is so freaking good. I know that is like the very first tease to brand new music, but I've been seeing online you guys are working out a brand new EP in the works. Is that what I'm hearing? Ooh.
We're thinking so. We have a release plan for a couple more singles to come out in the coming months. And then we hit back into the studio a little bit in June.
Nice. And so how does Barry Mia prepare to enter the studio to record new music? Is there anything that you like to bring in, or do you guys just go, "I got nothing. Let's figure it out."
We basically, so we'll have our songs fully polished to what Barry Mia's standards are. So we'll basically lock ourselves in our studio.
Okay, and that's like, that's an interesting point. You just said there's a standard. Okay. And what is that standard that's set in place?
Basically that everyone is kind of happy with what they've written as well as the other parts. So we kind of know what tone we're going for in the song. And no one's just kind of like, eh, I'm kind of off about this.
Were you guys still in isolation? I mean, are you guys sending like MP3 tracks to each other, or are you guys actually getting together in one location?
It's a little bit of both. Most of the time we'll lock all four of ourselves in our studio and we'll just kind of play and kind of see what comes of it. Spend hours on, you know, working on the melodies and the guitar tracks. But then we'll also individually, you know, record on our own time and send messages out and be like, hey, listen, look what I did in my basement.
And I like that a lot. So like walk us through like the creative process on like how the band writes and record music. I mean, how do you guys approach bringing your vision to life?
I mean, I think a lot of the times it's going to start with like one riff that is really catchy. I mean, for Car Warranty, you hear that opening riff in the guitar. That's really what started it all off, along with a drum beat that our drummer Marcus came up with. And it just goes from there. Sometimes, you know, like Devin or I will bring kind of a fully formed song to the practice, but usually we're kind of starting off with some core material and then just everybody's layering on top of it. So it's pretty cool. I think, you know, we're kind of on like the DIY budget plan a lot of the time. So we like try to go into the studio with everything prepared. So we're kind of set up.
I like that DIY budget plan. I haven't heard that one. That does definitely make sense. You know, you want to utilize every time and dollar when you jump into that studio space. And since you were talking about how usually you produce the melodies first, but I can only imagine when you guys start coming up with the lyrical content, you might have to like revise your lyrics so it fits like the overall mood or tone of the song. Do you remember a time when you guys had to do that recently?
I mean, yeah, with Car Warranty and our other two singles, basically every Bury Mia song starts with complete gibberish. We have no idea what the hell we're saying. It's just like words flying at the wall. And then we'll go to like the iPhone recordings and be like, oh, this makes sense. Oh, okay. We can add this here and that and kind of get a mood for it. I would say lyrics probably take the longest out of writing. Yep.
No, that definitely makes sense. And let's pull the plug and stick our lines in a different amp because I want to riff about something different right now. And one of those things is the music industry, which you guys are clearly in. And so what is your opinion on music streaming services and their impact on the music scene?
I mean, I think if you do them right, you can definitely see bonus potential. A lot of it, I think, right now, is regulated towards building artists opposed to having them profit off of the sites like Spotify, Apple Music and stuff. Is you don't see a lot of profit off of it, but it can help you grow when you know you're trying to send an EPK out and you're trying to build yourself and book these next shows. Is the higher that your streaming services show you kind of plays on your songs, kind of shows how popular you kind of are.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But do you think like Apple Music and Spotify have helped or hurt, you know, the financial viability of musicians today?
I feel like it's made it a lot easier for the little guys to get their foot in the door. I mean, our first few tracks were recorded in my basement with like, you know, just a basic computer setup and almost nothing else. And the reality is, if we weren't able to do that, we wouldn't be able to do any of the things that we're doing right now. And that was able to turn us into getting music online. And now, you know, suddenly there's individuals in the Philippines or France listening to our songs because of somebody like Spotify. But I think there's a point kind of after that, once you've got your foot in the door and kind of understood it, where now you can't make any money off of it. So it's giving access to everybody, but man, is it kind of like cutting us down to the knees as far as like actually trying to, you know, make a living, which is the hard.
Yeah, I'm shocked you still have your Achilles because, you know, Gojora fans, you know, they've been heavily criticizing the group because they've been touring recently and merchandise has been a heavy topic in the last 2 months.
Ooh, yeah.
And what do fans need to know about touring artists and the fees that, you know, because, I mean, they're even talking about how even they want to cut at the bar. Because merchandise cuts are being taken from the venue. So do you guys have a stance on that?
I mean, I think any retail, like if you're going out and you're putting yourself into selling the goods and stuff, you should be able to take that, especially for touring bands. It's hard enough touring as it is with budgets and being able to get to the next city, let alone, you know, a venue or someone taking 20% of your merch sales, which I know it goes as high as 40, I've heard.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I think merchandising should be left alone. We've been lucky enough that we haven't seen any contracts or anything with a cut of merch sales, luckily. But I know what's out there.
Or what do you think about dynamic pricing? Because, you know, first dynamic pricing got going with like Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift, but now it's it gone and dripped its way into the pop punk world with Blink 182. Are you guys familiar with what dynamic pricing is with Ticketmaster and Live Nation?
Yeah,
yes, horrible. Sir.
Yeah, and terrible. I mean, isn't that like a shitty thing? Because there's a lot of joke in the pop punk world. Like, I mean, myself personally, I've already said it numerous times on air. I love Blink 182, but they are a three chord progression band. I'm not paying $300 to sit way in the back. Don't you think that's a disservice for the new generation that wants to go and see a show who didn't grow up with Warped Tour? Matter of fact, you know, to go and see an onslaught of groups.
Yeah, I was about to say, I was like, yeah, I mean, Warped Tour, you spend $25 and you get to see, you know, countless amount of bands back in our day. But now, yeah, you have to pay $300 to get nosebleeds to see Blink 182, and maybe you could maybe make out Tom's head.
You're gonna have to need binoculars, you know, like when you're on the ballpark, you're like, when you're up on a section 306.
Oh my God, it's him.
So true, guys. Very, very true. And we wanted to make sure we have enough time to be playing an actual visual. You guys got an amazing music video that you guys did with the previous release, and the song is called Train Wrecks. It's spelled T-R-N-W-R-C-K. So if you want to look up that single right after the show, or just type in Bury Mia. I don't know why I made it that difficult. But we're going to be playing the official right now, live on the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show. So Marissa, let's get it on, fam.
If I paid attention, would you commit? Nourishment, all our creation.
That is Barry Mia's music video, Trainwreck. That is out on YouTube or wherever you listen to your music streaming platforms. But gentlemen, thank you so much for joining the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show. You're and what awesome. Are your plans for the coming months?
So immediately tonight we have a show at Globe Hall, so if you're in the Denver surrounding area, come out.
Sweet.
We'll be celebrating. So you're gonna celebrate that St. Patty's Day, huh? Gonna get I love it. Green beer.
So what's the drink of choice?
Bear fights. The choice is gonna be
bear fights.
Bear fights. Okay, bear
what's
fights.
That?
If you know what
what's
a bear
that?
Fight is, it is a drop shot. You basically mix a car bomb with the Jaeger bomb.
Oh yeah. Okay, and it's beer. Okay.
Yep.
I didn't know it was called a beer shot. I've done those. Those are deadly.
No,
you should only do maybe two. Maybe two if you plan on singing.
You plan on anything.
Well, you guys have been awesome souls. We cannot wait to hear more music from you guys. You're more than welcome to come back on Strike a Chord, and we'd love to talk about your guys' new potential full-length LP or EP in the works. So thank you again. Kudos, kudos, kudos.
Absolutely. Big shows and probably a tour this year, so we're excited.
Yes,
rock
love
and
it.
Roll. Love to hear the good vibes. And for everybody that is tuning in right now to the Chris College Show Millennial Talk Show, stick around as we got more left on the show. What's good, fam? We can always use a little bit of good in this world. So, Marissa Pitts and I, we want to let you guys know what's good. And I love this story because there is a powerlifting champion who is doing all that he can to make this world just a little bit more accommodating for people living with disabilities or even our elderly folks. Because I hate to break it to you, CCS family, we're going to get old at one point. And Jovino McLean, has opened a gym called the J7 Health Center in Manchester, United Kingdom, to specifically train individuals with disabilities and our elderly people. So we have a little video clip that will showcase what that's all about. Oh, I thought I did. Oh, my bad. I don't have it up here. Let me see if I can actually pull it up.
Oh, no, I was like, oh, Chris must have it on the side.
I got caught slipping.
Well, there it is.
5 seconds. 3 more, baby. Go on. 2 more. Go on.
Disabled people don't look for sympathy. Disabled people are people who are ill, don't look for pity. They're not saying pity me, they're saying encourage me, like motivate me. They're saying challenge me, I want to be challenged. If I can take you from out of your reality, where we all as humans go through sadness, bad days, difficult times. If I can take you out of your reality and bring you into a world where it's just me, you, vibes, laughs, energy, love, I can make you do things that you never thought was possible.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. I think the people like him is truly needed, and I know Marissa, you guys cater for that even in your
certified personal trainer, like being able to, you know, 6 days a week I train people early morning. I'm up at 3:30, I'm doing it, and watching the transformation of people go from what they think they can do physically or told they can do physically, and then being able to break that barrier. Right. And especially dealing with someone who is disabled and stuff. I mean, more people like him need to be there. More facilities need to be like that. Needs to be accessible. Yeah. So I'm going to cry because I was like, so what's good?
No, absolutely. I was privileged to grow up at an elementary school right up the block, Sumner and Danbury Elementary School. And Danbury was the school for disability kids who had an amazing facility like gyms and playgrounds. And, you know, I demand that actually. Yeah. At every single school front in the United States, and you should too. And I think this is a great movement from across the pond. So, Mr. McLean, we appreciate you, young man, and keep doing what you're doing, because I think it's a positive movement and outlet for the rest of the world to embrace. And, you know, we want to do another shout out again to our amazing jam-packed lineup that joined us today on this Friday show, which is Ryan Leeson. He is the writer and director of his second feature film, which is called All the World is Sleeping, out now on demand or in theaters. And also check out Denver pop punk kings Barry Mia, out now with their brand new single. And yes, I will say it one last time. The song track is called We Are Trying to Reach You About Extending Your... Oh, sorry, I just butchered it, Marissa. Oh, my God. We've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty. There we go. Sorry, that was... I felt like I was reading a Dr. Seuss line. But, hey, for everybody that's going to be joining us for next Friday, we got something cooking up. So, you know, you need to follow us on social media to get insight on all those deets. But I can let you know that our... my co-host for my video game talk show, Rage Quit, Henrik the Wreck, is going to be joining us next Friday for Just Talking, and we might have a special guest as well, so keep a lookout. Might be juicy, might relate to that world. Hey, you don't know unless you follow us on social media. And for everybody that's tuning into the ChrisCollinsShow.com, become a member today and get that free CCS t-shirt, and also check out Off the Fret, more music talk, featuring Nashville country star Amanda Cooksey, out now on YouTube or wherever you listen to podcasts. For now, enjoy the weekend, CCS family, and Marissa Pitson, me, we'll see you next week. Peace! I wish you were here spending all your time. What's good? It's Chris from the Chris Collins Show, Millennial Talk Show, featuring Nashville singer-songwriter Amanda Cooksey. Known for her breakup songs, crop tops, and TikTok covers, is a refreshing new voice in country music. Joins Off the Fret. More music talk. What's good, party people? Chris Collins Show presents Music Storm 2022, hosted by Chris Collins and Marissa Pitts, featuring Royals. There's got to be a better way. Hurricane Highway. Cannibal Kids. Amanda Cooksey. Astoria State. Kid Dad. Resounding. Sleep Cycles. Avenues. Freckles. Weather Worn. Just True. Sophia Marie. Music Storm 2022. Available wherever you listen to podcasts. Our brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
I love it. It's more time to chat.
Hello.
You look so jazzy.
I love your outfit.
How far would you go to start playing live music again?
This slaps harder than my ex when she got her stimulus check. So, are you here to bring the sexual healing with your music? Oh, everything is everything, and I guarantee you're going to hear this song in the future. I love the flow, man. Politically charged album. So, if you get easily offended, this might not be the album for you. Brand new podcast, Off the Fret.
So excited.
Has Kim Kardashian accidentally sent you a coochie shot?
Do you want to stay there? It's completely your choice. Or you want to...
I feel you. And you know what I love? Off the Fret. More music talk. Peace.